He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's holiday-shortened week. It is the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Barry, three shopping days until Christmas. Better get out there. And
get it wrapped up, yeah.
Don't forget what's coming here. Well, you know, we're getting a little bit of a gift. I don't think the market's not like it's roaring back today, but it seems to me like it's starting to get used to Omicron. And I saw a very nice bottoming process taking place in a lot of top tech stocks yesterday, which we'll talk about here a little bit later today. Right now, we've got the Dow up 300 points, let's call it. It's at 35,232. The S&P's up 26 points, 45.94. Both indexes not that far from their all-time highs. The NASDAQ is holding that 15,000 level. That seems to be the floor right now. I mean, you can go a skosh underneath it, but we are at 15,083. Yesterday we were a little below it. The NASDAQ's up 100 points today, being helped by Micron after their big earnings report yesterday after the close. The small caps, which are a pretty good risk indicator, they're up 1.5% today. So you do have risk back on. I'd say the other big risk indicator these days seems to be Bitcoin, and it's up 2,476. So it is risk on. I think the one thing holding down the tech stocks overall, some of your Adobes and the like, interest rates are up 5 basis points today, which I think is healthy. It's at 1.47. That's going to help the financials a lot today, which are in oversold territory right now. And crude oil, which is I thought was way oversold, it's up $1.70 today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, with 21 years behind the mic, coming up on year 22, and 21 years in the trenches daily, up to my eyeballs, with stock charts and fundamentals and macro news and global events taking place. And, of course, Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. We're working this week. That's the way it is in the stock market. I got a lot done yesterday. I got a lot of charts looked at. My takeaway yesterday was the market is finally kind of getting used to Omicron and realizing that, yes, it's spreading like wildfire. There's no denying that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't seem to be in South Africa where it first hit. There really wasn't much of an uptick in hospitalizations. That's just the statistics coming out of there. And I don't know that they reported any deaths from it either out of South Africa. So the market seems to be getting used to it. We'll talk a little bit about what Biden, we kind of know what he's going to say, that he's going to be mailing out test kits. I'm trying to find out who the maker is of the test kits, Barry.
Right, yeah, 500 million. Look, you know, the NFL's getting used to it. An interesting story is, you know, and the wording I thought was very interesting. It's, you know, they're doing essentially, you know, testing, you know, doing less testing, which really equates into being more strategic about it, which, you know, tells me they're, you know, if you come up with a positive test, it's only a worry, right? In reality, if you're, you know, if you're susceptible to getting sick, right? And so, we don't do flu tests to walk into work every day, right? Or a cold test. So, anyways, it's
Same time, the NHL is closing down their season for now.
Yeah, which and part of that has to do with Canada, I believe, because they're not able to play those cross-border matchups at this point. But
so bad news for our Minnesota fans, and hockey going to be down for a while. But, I think the market's getting used to it. We had a maybe the last big plunge yesterday, which saw the Dow go down 433 points. I looked at a lot of charts. I turned off the television, just focused on individual stocks all day yesterday. I liked the bounce back in the NASDAQ towards the end of the day, and I saw a lot of bottoming patterns in the ServiceNows, the Snowflakes, the Sentinel Ones, the Zscalers of the world. They look pretty good right now, very oversold. And I also said, you know, I would be looking at that energy oil patch right now. There's a lot of big news coming out about how we haven't made any big discoveries this year in oil. In fact, it's the worst year since 1946 as far as discoveries go. You had the warning by Halliburton that we're going to reach kind of a crisis in oil. Not this year, but down the road, because we're not doing that investing in it. So, you know, I think the energy sector, I'm bullish for the first time in a long time going forward. We'll talk more about that in a bit. The S&P was down 53 yesterday. And, you know, today I don't know that there's any big news that's turning it around other than, you know, things are oversold right now. They're in oversold condition, and they're coming back even overseas. China had a good day. Japan had a pretty good move in the market. And here we are with a good start, finally, to this holiday shortened week. Okay, well, we're going to get an announcement a little bit later. I think Biden's going to take to the airwaves, President Biden, and announce his plan to mail out 5 million test kits.
Yeah, and it's, I heard something. It's if you ask for them, I'm not sure how. Yeah, so I guess I don't know how you ask.
Do I have
for
to
them,
ask for a ballot? We'll find out. Too, yeah. Or can I get my ballot in the mail? Well, anyways, we've got a good start to the market today. Oh, another observation I made yesterday, a big observation. I can't believe how many smaller biotech stocks, but kind of the more high quality ones, the more you know, the $2 billion market cap ones, they look really good. Well, I'm thinking, why are these stocks moving up? And it's pretty obvious that these big pharmas are flush with cash. Can you imagine the cash that Pfizer's sitting on right now, and Moderna and BioNTech and Johnson and Johnson, et cetera, with all of this vaccine money flowing in from the government? Well, we saw Pfizer take out Arena Pharmaceutical last week for a pretty big, hefty premium. I think that these big pharmas are going to use this opportunity with all this cash to expand their pipelines. You know, Moderna doesn't want to be a one-trick pony. I mean, what happens when, you know, we don't need two booster shots, five booster shots, all of a sudden the boosters start to go away? That's bad for business. They got to start developing new products. And I think you're going to see a lot of M&A, merger and acquisition activity in that biotech sector. I actually took a position in one yesterday that looked pretty suspicious to me. You know, in the app, I see suspicious movement. Doesn't mean there's anything going to happen. But I saw that in, what's this company that Oracle took out?
That was Cerner.
Yeah, they took out Cerner. I saw suspicious activity in Cerner. It was rising in the ranks. And not that they had any new products or any big earnings beat. And sure enough, Oracle comes along, buys them out for a huge premium. Well, I can just say I spotted 20 biotechs yesterday with very unusual activity. And I got to believe that a lot of big investors are placing bets in hopes of M&A activity. And I actually bought what I thought was the best one that I saw all day yesterday. In the Ultra Growth Active account, because I think it might, who knows, it could be in play. We'll see. But that was one thing that really stood out to me yesterday was all the, and on a down day, let's not forget, okay? So those upward moves stood out like a sore thumb. And it wasn't in just one or two stocks. It was across the board in about 20 or 25. So you might want to look maybe the biotech ETFs, BIB or one of those. There seems to be a lot of anticipation of some M&A activity. Europe stocks were up. You know, the UK okayed Pfizer's fifth booster shot. I mean, you're just going to be like an mRNA machine walking around with all those booster shots in you. But, hey, it's good for Pfizer, and I'm sure Pfizer's going to put that cash to work and look for some promising drug pipelines. And that's the way it is. Okay, when we come back, I want to – the leading index of indicators is a main one for me, a main one, the leading economic indicators, LEI. And then we'll talk just a little bit about the Biden speech, and we'll see if any of these testing companies – I just checked Abbott. It's not jumping. There must be one somewhere. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Oh, I know Minnesota's going to laugh, but it's chilly here. It's 39 degrees up here on the river, Barry, right now.
Yeah, that's after, what, 70-something degrees on Saturday?
Yeah.
It was pretty...
I went out, it was like 75 last Thursday. I laid outside, got a little suntan. And 38 degrees, I mean, in Minnesota, that's like, shoot, they go out windsurfing on the lake in 38-degree weather. But it's chilly for this neck of the woods. The market is starting to surge now. The Dow is up over 400. Nike's a big winner in the Dow. I guess those virtual shoes are flying off the shelf onto virtual people. You know, somebody's paying for all of this. I don't know. You've also got a pretty good move in Boeing here today. And the other thing that impresses me about the S&P 500 move is it's very well, it's not just one sector. There's a wide group of stocks. There's a semiconductor stock, a Micron that's leading the charge. There's a chip stock clothing stock in Nike. There's a mall operator stock in Macerich. And the ones that kind of give it away that I think we're getting used to Omicron, or the market is, you've got Carnival having a good day, and hotel stock having a good day. In addition to that, the energy, the oil stocks are having a good day. So, you know, it's spread out. KLA Tencor having a good day. I'm just not seeing the real hardcore tech participate, and I'm thinking that's probably because of a little bit higher interest rates today. All right. Well, okay, Biden's going to talk today about his Omicron plan, okay? And his Omicron plan consists of, I mean, he's going to really urge people to get the vaccine. That should come as no surprise. And he's going to mail out how many you have to request them?
Yeah, 500 million. From what like I said, we'll know more once he speaks. But yeah, from what it sounded like, it was, you know, it is almost like you could get a test if you wanted one, and I think they were test at home.
They'll be mailed to your house.
So you've got to request them. You know, I don't know if you request them from your doctor, if they're going to set up some kind of website. You know, I'm not sure, but it was almost like, you know, if you want one, you could get one, and you just, you know, you request it. I don't know how quickly.
And they're free. They are free.
Yeah,
but. Your tax dollars, I'm sure, are paying for it in the end of the day. The leading economic indicator index is one that I watch very closely. That's one of the key indicators. This comes from the Conference Board. This came out today, comes out monthly. They said that inflation and continuing supply chain disruptions, as well as resurgence of COVID-19, pose risks to GDP growth in 2022, but the economic impact of these risks may be contained. Okay, this is the conference board. They forecast real GDP growth in Q4, which we're in right now, which will end in 10 days, 6.5% annualized rate. And then they predict that in the Q1 of 2022, it's going to moderate, but still at a healthy rate of 2.2%. So that's very good news. And they're very, the leading indicators are a very important one to watch, very important macroeconomic stat to watch. Okay, and the good thing that I forgot to say about Biden's speech, no shutdowns, no locking down. Okay, now Europe, they've gone to some draconian measures in the UK. They've gone to some draconian measures in Netherlands. They're shut down until mid-January. But today's speech will not be about locking down. It's be more about the benefits of being vaccinated and the steps they are going to take to increase access to testing.
And I believe the UK was backing off of some of their measures, if I'm not mistaken. So, like we said, I mean, this thing is going to move much faster through the population. So, you know, one argument is the fact that you're going to end up, with more folks naturally vaccinated in a much faster than you could if you're putting shots in arms. So,
yeah. Now the story has changed. You know, I mean, originally it was to prevent you from getting the COVID, but you know, we've had two high-profile examples here recently. Elizabeth Warren was fully vaccinated with the booster shots, and she still got COVID, and so did the senator, I think, Cory Booker. But, I mean, now the story is changing. Well, you won't get as bad of a case with the vaccine. So, anyways, I mean, it used to be it prevents getting the infection. Now it does not prevent getting the infection. That's obvious, but supposedly you get a milder form of the the president will restate that while vaccinated individuals, their cases will be milder or asymptomatic. Okay, so that's how. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in the meantime, it's spreading like wildfire. Now represents 73% of the cases in the U.S., up from just 13% last week. So it seems like it's going to come to a town or city near you eventually. Okay, now, I want to, as far as macroeconomic events around the world, I want to just go back to the Chile story for a minute. Not Hormel Chile, no, the country of Chile. ECH is the Chilean ETF. It was down 11% yesterday. It's a pretty big deal. I mean, I bet when Venezuela, you know, elected Maduro, or who was the guy before him? I can't even think of his name. Was it Maduro? But, you know, we probably just kind of, okay, so they elected a new guy. But you see what Venezuela is now and what Venezuela was. I really fear for Chile. I mean, they've got, it's one of Latin America's richest nations, okay? If you ate a grape yesterday, or if you ate a plum, or a peach, or a watermelon, or a cantaloupe, or many, it probably came from Chile. And not only that, copper, big, Chile is loaded with copper, and Chile is loaded with lithium. And I listened to the speech by Boric, the new 35-year-old who was, his background, he's a former student protest leader. Okay, that's his background. And now he's the leader of Chile. And there was a $2.5 billion Dominga mining project down there for copper. And he's pledged to put a halt to it, which could put a squeeze on copper. And I saw some comments here that this Goldman Sachs is saying, man, you ought to be looking at other copper. So I'm thinking, I don't know, how's Freeport MacMoran doing today? What is Freeport? We're out of time already for this quarter? Well, anyways, this is not a good development. And Goldman also downgraded lithium yesterday, and they They gave our SQM a sell. I want to talk about that when we come back, okay? Barry, we'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the NASDAQ's only up 39 right now. I'm not sure what's going on there. It might be rising interest rates. Last time I looked, the 10-year was up about 4 or 5 basis points. Well, that's why you've got to own some financials, right? We're kind of in a market where you can't own all tech. You can't own all basic material stocks. And you can't own all financials. It seems to me, Barry, I'm thinking in 2022, a little bit more of a balanced approach, because on the days when interest rates are up, you're going to get some pop in your basic material and financial stocks, and on the days when the interest rates are down, the techs, does that sound about right?
No, that makes sense. I mean, you want to be a bit in the almost like you said, a bit on the side of inflation, right? Which puts you in,
yes,
some of these commodity names or commodity based stocks, and then the interest rate hedge is going to be more of your financials. Even insurance companies, if you can find
insurance,
one out there,
right,
that you like. Of course, you still can't go away from tech, because that's where the future, the long-term future growth is.
Yeah, so. But I think, on that tech curve, the tech, it covers a very broad spectrum. And I still say you don't want to go out on that transformational curve with artificial intelligence and autonomous driving software. And I still, that was the place to be in 2020, was to be out on the limb on the speculative side of tech. This year, that all ended in February of this year when interest rates spiked up to about 1.8 or so. Those stocks have never come back. I mean, they are just down, the Palantirs of the world, the Pinterest of the world. The stocks that don't have earnings, I suppose, would be a good way to put it. And I think this year you're starting to see a bite come out of the middle tier of tech, which might include maybe the cybersecurity and the cloud stocks. I think that sector has definitely weakened. Now you're getting more into the upper tier of tech, which is the Facebook and Microsoft and Apple, and that's going to be about your say. And if they pay a dividend, I think, even better. And I think it's going to be a decent year for basic materials. I was just looking at a copper stock that we used to own. We might have been a little bit early to it. I think we sold it for maybe a small gain. But Freeport-McMoRan is moving up in rank again. It's number 225 right now. That's a significant move. It was 1900 several months ago. And I think, copper, believe it or not, is a big factor in the conversion from the combustible engines to the electric,
correct,
vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And with, it kind of goes against the grain for this new guy in Chile to shut down. I mean, on the one hand, he's big on climate change, and copper plays a major role in all of that. And on the other hand, the environmentalist in him wants to shut down this big Dominga $2.5 billion mine, which, by the way, has nothing to do with SQM that I can tell.
Right. And SQM's done a great job, because we knew, based on the article that we wrote, and the biggest worry, right, was this election and the outcome of that. And SQM has done a lot in the environmental space in terms of getting their with their ESG score up, right? They've they've done a lot of been able to save water, because the problem is water.
Yeah.
When you're mining this lithium, and so they've done a a great job of actually, you know, using less water, being more efficient in terms of how they mine. So they've made some concessions, and Chile has an interest in SQM as well because it is a money source for the country itself. So there's a few things where it's in all economic interest to probably, you know, not be too harsh, but it's the unknown, right? That the market doesn't like.
Well, Hugo Chavez was the name I was trying to come up with.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
Remember old Hugo?
Madero was the next one after Hugo.
Okay, Hugo. Right, it took over a country very rich in oil, especially, and ran the oil industry right into the ground. Even though, you know, you could make the argument that, well, Chile really needs SQM and their lithium. Well, Hugo Chavez really needed Venezuela and their oil and the oil companies. But before long, everything, the big-time operators fled Venezuela. And their oil production just absolutely got crushed.
Yeah, he took Exxon's Plat oil platforms off the coast at one point. It was it was a pretty serious situation, and essentially investment just left the country. And
I worry about Chile. I don't know that a student protester knows how to run a a lithium mine. So we're going to have to reevaluate our position on that stock. It is rebounding today. We just thought it was one of the cheapest plays on the electric vehicle movement. So we'll see. Okay, a couple other global hotspots. Turkey is still, they're having all kinds of problems over there in Turkey with the plunge of the lira. Here's my quick little story here. Barring a major discovery in the coming 11 days, the oil and gas industry will deliver its worst exploration year since 1946. That's according to data compiled by Rystad Energy. That just tells me, and this comes, you know, in the mouth of two witnesses, I also heard Halliburton talking about, you know what, we're facing a crunch. That seems to be very bullish. The fossil fuels, whether you're for them or against them, you know, as an investor, we look for opportunity. I think there's going to be a shortage in copper, and I think there's going to be shortages in oil going forward. General Mills, guess what? They're down. What do they blame? Inflation. Okay, so they're on the front lines. They can't only charge so much for, cereal. Cereal's already dropped big time as far as people eating cereal, the traditional cereals that we grew up with, the Wheaties and whatnot.
Cocoa Pebbles.
Oh, man, it turns your milk chocolate. That was the thing for me. It was magic right before my eyes. I'm having chocolate milk for breakfast. But, they blame inflation. They missed their earnings, and the stock is down 4.1%. Now,
That's a big move, by the way, for General Mills. I mean, that stock doesn't move much in either direction. You know, it's a consumer staple, and 4% is a big move for General Mills.
And that's one of the big corporations in our one of our favorite towns, Minneapolis, where we have a lot of friends and clients and listeners. General Mills, there's a lot of great companies headquartered in Minneapolis. Okay, I want to turn to China for a minute. Alibaba, downgraded. It's about time. You know, where have you been at Atlantic Equities? This stock has been tanking for almost, a year and a half or something like that? Alibaba, and I have a short position in China overall. Alibaba has gone from $319 down to $120. So it's lost $200 in value, and along comes equities analyst at Atlantic Equities downgrading it finally. Well, he's about a year and a half late. They have little confidence in the company, especially particular areas of the company. But there are a lot of bullish articles being written right now. On our favorite website, Seeking Alpha, saying, I'd be buying Alibaba at this level, not me. KWEB, KWEB, which was a very high-flying ETF, which was made up of Chinese internet stocks, You know, that's poison right now, owning Chinese internet stocks. KWeb has gone from $79 to $39. That's a new three-year low. How's communism working in China? You know, he took that hard turn towards their, you know, Mao Zedong roots, and it's been awful, just awful for their stock market. And yet you've got a lot of people. I listened to several analysts this morning recommending investing outside the U.S. in 2022. Okay, Barry, so I'm thinking, well, let's see. China's the biggest investment outside the U.S. Do I want to invest in China? I don't think so. Okay, let's go to Latin America. Okay, Latin America, a lot of mineral producers, fruit, wines, copper, gold. I don't think I want to invest in Latin America. About Europe? With all the lockdowns, I don't think so. I think the U.S. and the only other one I can think of is Japan, maybe. Give me your comments.
Yeah.
A lot of them are recommending Japan, for heaven's sakes. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about some individual stocks. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the three stocks I'm going to feature, they were pretty easy to come up with here today. We own one of them, but the other two look very interesting right now. I think inflation is an issue in 2022, and I think commodities are going to be an issue. And I think there's going to be other issues in 2022. But I think 2022 is still very investable. All right, so let's begin with the fertilizer, another fertilizer stock. Barry, CF Industries is going to have record, speaking of Deerfield, Illinois, going to have record earnings next year, $9.81 in earnings in 2022. Their best year prior to that was this year, $5 in earnings, which were up 300. Their earnings tripled this year. Oh, actually quadrupled this year versus last year. Their growth rate over the last 5 years has been 32% per year. And next year they're looking for 91% growth. The stock is rising magnificently in rank here right now, and I'm seeing a breakout in it today. And CF Industries is no small company. It's $14.3 billion, and it pays a dividend yield of 1.8%. Put that on your list of possible articles for the future.
Yeah, I did some research on them when we did Nutrien as well.
Yeah.
They're a competitor. But.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't told you, but on your card, your business card, we're going to add fertilizer analyst.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to go right next to CFP. Yeah. And
the word fertilizer could be traded out for other synonyms.
Yes,
he's
our fertilizer specialist here at Gunderson Capital Management. I dish the fertilizer, but you write about it. CF Industries is going to be one of my top picks for 2022. If they were going to ask me, CF will make that featured stock number one. Now I'm going to stick with tech. But I'm not going way out on a limb. I'm sorry. I'm not going out there on that limb that is bending and ready to snap. I think it snapped for the most part back in February with all of the transformational, maybe someday, gene editing, autonomous driving, artificial intelligence and all this and that. It's just not the place to be. I'm sorry. It's the worst time in the economic cycle and in this 12-year bull to be out on a limb like that. That had a fantastic year in 2020, and we took advantage of it, but we shifted gears in 2021. I still like ServiceNow. And here's why. Okay, they announced today a 5-year contract with my favorite agency in the government, the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so the IRS is bringing in ServiceNow. That's a good contract, okay? They pay their bills at NOW or at the IRS. And I got to believe that IRS is ramping up big time. We've already been warned of that. That's even though, President Biden did not get his Build Back Better bill through, he's going to figure out a way to ramp up the IRS because, you've got sluffers like Elon Musk and those that are just living off. What did she call him?
Freeloader.
He's a freeloader.
Freeloader.
So sick the IRS on him. But anyways, that's a pretty good contract. And now is saying ServiceNow, that is the symbols now, 25% growth per year going forward. And it's expensive. It's not cheap. The stock is not cheap, but this is still phenomenal growth. Over the last 5 years, they've averaged 55% per year. They're slowing down to 25% per year.
But the growth's very visible. So you've got a lot of visibility in that future growth with those big contracts. And a lot of folks, those contracts, a lot of those, they have like an 80-something percent renewal rate, I think, on their contracts.
Yeah.
So.
Now, the third one, I'm going to go with the smaller oil stock. You know what? People listen to this show. Is there anybody more generous with stock picks and, what's going on in our mind than us, listing our favorite fertilizer stocks every day? But anyways, I'm going to go with an oil and gas stock. My best friend that I grew up with, and we're still buddies, we're partners in the Best Stocks Now app. I had another discussion yesterday. We're really zeroing in on the new version 2.0 of the app. But my best friend, he's from Calgary, and he's a big Calgary Flames fan. And he calls it hockey, and he's a good guy. Vermilion Energy, VET, V-E-T, is rising big time in my app, and the stock is starting to break out, and the momentum behind it is just sensational. It's up 6.1% today, VET. So we'll go with CF VET Now, okay? CF VET Now today for our featured stocks of the day. Those are some stocking stuffers and Christmas presents under the tree, courtesy of Gunderson Capital Management and the great minds and our fertilizer expert, Barry Kite.
Right.
You're going to be proud of that card. Yeah, you can hand it out downtown at the Hall's Chop House. Look, I'm the fertilizer specialist at Gunderson Capital.
I'm sure that's going to get get some
and the
chicks, be a conversation piece.
The chicks will be swarming all over you, but there'll be social distancing, obviously, with the flies buzzing around you. Okay, well, you know what? We have a lot of fun on this show. I can't wait to come back and do it all over. I have as much fun as anybody doing this show, and I put in my homework. We do our homework before we present it. We filter through a lot of fertilizer to try to bring you just the very best nuggets out of this information barrage that we're hit with every single day. And, I have my live trading service. People follow along with what's in my head, what I'm observing all day long at GundersonCapital.com. That's the live trading service. And we continue to open up new accounts. Ever since I've been in the business, I'm constantly opening new accounts. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Heck, we're working during the holidays. We'll do a nice Zoom call. You can sit in your lazy boy chair, sipping your hot chocolate, your cocoa, and have a Zoom call with our fertilizer expert. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.